At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
On the hunt for lost ROI? Chart a course and find hidden profit potential with Acuron Corn Herbicide. It's the only herbicide strong enough to bury competing weeds and help you unearth 5 to 15 more bushels per acre. How's that for hidden riches? Uncover the real value of Acuron at Acuron-Herbicide.com. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Who doesn't like a good murder mystery? You know, true crime, all the rage. Obviously, we've created a podcast called Dark Side Of that talks all about it. But what about a true crime situation where ghosts are involved? Yeah. Ghosts coming to someone who is very close physically to where a crime took place when they were just a child. But as they got older, discovered a playmate in the form of the child victim that died right across the street. That person thinks they may know more about the crime than others do at this point. With one man on death row, is it the right person? That's what they ask. Names, places have all been changed for this story. Take a listen. Hi, Tony and Company. This is my first time writing in. I'd rather call, but most of my free time is spent at work, and I'd rather not get interrupted while trying to make a call. I'm an EPP. After coming across your show on Spotify, I couldn't tell you how long I've been listening, only that I became hooked after a single episode. I'm going to call myself Misty, as my name is unidentifiable in my area. My story involves a current pending criminal appeal to the courts. The initial case is 30 plus years old, but the suspect is on death row and making appeals. In a way, I kind of hope that this brings peace to some of the people involved, should they ever hear my story. The details are obvious to anyone old enough to have heard when the news broke, but for mine and my family's safety, I'm changing and omitting names. I grew up on half of the farm that my grandparents purchased in the early 50s. My parents bought half of it to build their house on. My grandmother sold the other half sometime in the late 70s or early 80s. She then moved into a mobile home on our part of the farm and lived there until her stroke. I was 5 at the time. The house I grew up in was built in the mid-1970s. My older brother and sister were young kids at the time. I was an oops that wasn't around until they were in high school. I think I fleshed out enough backstory to give you some idea. I was 2 at the time, and my mother, driving, my grandmother, front passenger, and myself were returning home from one of the local grocery stores. I was semi-asleep in the back seat, or maybe pretending to be asleep, one of the two. The top of our road was blocked, so we went around to try the other way, and it was blocked by police as well. So we go back to the top of our road, it's a hill, tell the officer that we need to get home. Apparently that's where the problem was, but they let us go home since groceries and a 2-year-old we had in the back seat. What had happened was a 10-year-old girl from the town across the state line had been murdered and her body dumped in the creek across from our driveway on the other half of the farm that my family previously owned. I'll give her a fictitious name of Annie for the story. Of course, there was an investigation where they did speak to my parents to see if they saw anything that night. Of course, they hadn't. Too many trees in between the house and the road. I don't know or remember how my dad found out the information, but they were trying to convict the mother's boyfriend based on mud found on his boots and a few other things, obviously. It was said to be river-bottom mud, which my dad knew had never been present in the creek where Annie's body had been found. It was at that time that my mom says she remembers me beginning to talk to an imaginary friend by the name of Annie. Since I was only 2 at the time, I don't remember this. However, I have a few memories of her spirit as I got older. There's a few things that very much stand out. I'm what I know to be an empath, but I very frequently have what you call downloads from spirits. They can and have communicated with me through dreams. In several of these downloads, I know from Annie that the man who sits on death row for her murder was not the one who killed her. In her opinion, she did not die before reaching the creek, but rather in the creek. As I look back writing this, I'm not sure that she didn't mean that's where she was able to detach her spirit from her body, meaning her body may have been dead, but the spirit was still attached to it until that point. I also very, very vividly recall a dream where her unseen spirit took myself, my dad, his sister, and her daughter to a house. Dad and Auntie stayed outside of the house, but Tara and I followed Annie into the house to play. She told us not to go upstairs because her uncle was up there. We were not allowed to go into his room. Of course, in typical kid fashion, even in a dream, we did not listen and went up anyway. Annie's screaming in my head got louder and louder. The closer we got to the door, telling us not to go in there, something bad would happen in there. We opened the door and I remember nothing more than just bright red and Annie screaming, which jolted me awake. Ever since this dream, I've had this gut feeling that the mother's brother had something to do with Annie's death. I have no idea what, sadly. The next instance that I remember was in the early 2000s. My mom and dad had bought me an old, and I do mean old, compact computer to play games and do homework on. It had Windows 2.1 OS on it, so yes, it was that old, and I had to use a floppy disk if I needed to print anything. I usually left this computer on with the screensaver running at night to cast a little light in my room as multiple spirits. Besides, Annie would bother me at night. One night, the screensaver clicked off in the middle of the night, and somehow the help menu was selected in the word processing program that I had opened. Oh, it's possible it could have been one of the other spirits. The only one I knew needed the most help was Annie. Being only in middle school, there wasn't much I could do. There's very little of the public info about the case at the time, or that I had access to anyway. Who would believe the word of someone who was only 2 when the crime was committed anyway, and claiming to see ghosts? Very little happened from that point on. I think it may have had to do with the kids that moved in next door. Annie, having only been 10, probably thought they were better playmates than myself. The kids could more easily see her too, I'm sure. I was in college and working as a server at a local restaurant when I encountered a woman with these stunning feather earrings, which I complimented. It came about that she was a local psychic through conversation. Even though I'm a sensitive myself, I'm usually very skeptical of others who make the same claim. She said a couple generic things that would have been typical for a female of my age, which I rolled my eyes at. However, then she mentioned that I had a little girl attached to me. Side note, this was not Annie, as I found out later, but my spirit guide, who I'll write and call in about at another time. I never told anyone where I work about this thing, so there wasn't a way that she would have known, nor did she know me before this, that I'm aware of. I told her who I thought it was, and she puffed up very proudly at this mention. Annie's mother has apparently consulted this woman to help find her daughter, or something like that. She's been about 12 plus years ago. I very casually said, "Oh, so you also know the man in jail isn't responsible then?" Her pride quickly turned to something almost like panic. She and her party left very quickly after that. The vibes that came from them were again something bordering on panic and fear. While I don't doubt this woman was a sensitive, I do doubt the extent of her abilities, as I feel she should have also picked up on that I was a sensitive myself. I suspected it of her, thus also where I felt her abilities were not what she claimed them to be. I'm not sure if this was Annie, but I assume it to be her or my spirit guide. I got home from that same serving job at about 1 a.m. I was the second closing shift, and walked around the corner to go from the kitchen to the living room, and ran into her, where she then vanished. and scare the daylights out of me simply because I was not expecting it. Since I have moved out of my parents' home, they still live there. I've had a few encounters with her. I think a lot of this is due to age and that my nephews are older as well. However, the neighbors have younger children. The mom and the older children have mentioned seeing her frequently. I think she is still reaching out for help to those who are more able to see her, but ironically, unable to help her any better than I was at that age. In some way, I hope that by telling this story that maybe it will reach the right people. Maybe local news. They found time capsules that she buried at the school. They're tearing it down and rebuilding. I feel like maybe this is the time to tell my story of Annie. It's a slim chance, but maybe, just maybe, the right people will hear. Thanks so much for reading my story. I'll write or maybe call in more about the other spirits and encounters I've had. I would apologize for the length, but I know you guys love long stories, so sorry, not sorry. Thanks again, Misty N.
Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or Patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories.